Osho. The Osho Upanishad. Responses to Disciples' Questions. Given in Bombay, India. Discourse number 29.
Beloved Bhagwan, did you manage to find me?
Existence is always a mystery. People fall in love . They cannot answer why, how they have found each other. And when they fall in love, there is an absolute feeling that they are made for each other. But how they manage to find in such a big world? Somebody is a born poet. Somebody is a born painter. They cannot explain how they became poets, how they became painters, how they managed the poetic visions to happen to them. It simply happens. There is no how to it. But our mind is a machine. It is not a mystery. And the mind always wants to know the how, the why. And because of this persistent inquiry about how and why, it goes on missing all that is beyond the boundaries of machines. life is beyond the boundaries of machines. Why you are alive? Do you have any answer? Why in the first place you are born? How did you manage to be born? You have simply to accept the mystery of all that is alive, either consciously or unconsciously. Unconsciously you have been accepting many things: your birth, your life, your love, your death. The roses, the stars, the ocean, the rivers, the sun, the moon, but you have been accepting them unconsciously. If you accept them consciously, you become a mystic. Then it is not a question that you are ignorant, that's why you don't know. It is not ignorant. It is the very unknowability of existence. I don't know how I have found you. Neither there is any need. It is enough that I have found you. Just remember not to get lost.
Beloved Book One, what is the purpose and task of the new University of Mysticism?
Mysticism is one of the forgotten languages. It has to be revived back. Because forgetting the language of the mystics, life has lost all color, all joy, all music. Turgenev has a beautiful story. In a village, a man comes to a sage and says to him, "Please help me. My whole village and the surrounding villages too think that I am an idiot. Whatever I say, however reasonable, rational it may be, they make a laughing stock of me. It has become a nightmare to me. If I remain silent, they condemn my silence, that what else he can do? He is such an idiot. He cannot say anything. If I say anything, everybody is there to laugh. My life has become so miserable that I feel to commit suicide. As I heard that a great sage is passing by, I thought, perhaps you can help me. The sage says it is a very simple matter. Just do one thing. From tomorrow morning, whenever anybody says anything, immediately criticize it. Somebody says, "Look, what a beautiful sunrise," and say, "What is beauty in it? Who says? And what is the proof? And what do you mean by beauty? Define." What is beauty? On what authority you are calling the sunrise beautiful? It is not. Somebody says that, "Look, a beautiful woman is going." Condemn. Just remember one thing: don't assert anything on your own part. Only criticize. And particularly those things which cannot be proved. Beauty, love, truth, God, things which everybody is talking but nobody can prove. Nobody can even define. And I will be coming after 1 month, then meet me. After 1 month, the man was a totally changed man. He has gone through a transformation. He was not looking sad. He was looking radiant, full of authority, as if suddenly he has got roots grounded. The sage laughed and he said, "So it worked." He said, "It worked tremendously. Now they all think I am the wisest man just in 1 month. And they are asking apologies that they used to think me an idiot. They are feeling very sorry for it. And I have not done anything else than what you had said to me. I have not missed a single chance. Anything. And I will pose a question. And they cannot answer. They feel embarrassed. Wherever I go, people fall silent, they don't talk. Because even to say words, is dangerous. But they have started worshipping me, touching my feet. I have become a sage. You have done a miracle." The sage says, "I have not done a miracle. This is a simple phenomenon. In life, whatsoever is valuable, is unexplainable, indefinable. And whatsoever is definable is worthless. One of the greatest thinkers of this age, G.E. Moore, has written a book, Principia Ethica. And he deals only with one question in the whole book. The question is, what is good? And it is the most fundamental question. You are talking about morality, you are talking about character, you are talking about goodness, badness, virtue, sin. They all need basically a clear-cut definition of what good is. Pages of very arduous logical reasoning approaching the question from every possible angle, he comes to the conclusion that the good is indefinable. It took him 250 pages, one of the best minds of our century, to figure out that good is indefinable. You can feel it. You can be it. You can live it. You can taste it. You can experience it. But you cannot explain it. As far as definitions are concerned, it is beyond definitions. There are thousands of books written by great philosophers, in an effort to define beauty. The effort is as old as man himself. Because even the first man must have felt beauty. It is impossible to conceive that the first man did not feel that the roses are beautiful, that the lotus flower is beautiful, that the starry night is beautiful, that the full moon is beautiful. That the silent eyes are beautiful. That the face of a Buddha is beautiful. It is impossible to conceive the first man was not aware of beauty, but thousands of years, thousands of efforts of aestheticians, philosophers, poets, painters, all have failed to define a simple phenomenon which everybody experiences. It is not something that only very unique individuals experience. It is experienced by everybody in some way or other. Such a vast and common experience. But when the question arises, what it is, when you try to pinpoint it, suddenly it disappears. You know it, but you cannot say. A beautiful incident in Rabindranath Tagore's life is he used to go on his houseboat deep into the rivers in the lonely silences of forests, one full moon night he is on his boathouse reading a book of a great philosopher on beauty. And they all start with great enthusiasm, as if they are going to define. And as you go deeper into the book, the enthusiasm starts disappearing, and you can start feeling their embarrassment that they have taken a task which is intrinsically impossible. And as he closed the book, coming to the conclusion that beauty is indefinable, he was reading the book in the candlelight. And because of the candlelight, the light of the moon has not entered through the windows of his cabin. He blew the candle. He was going to bed, and suddenly from everywhere the moonlight came in dancing. And he said, "My God, what a fool am I? The beauty is standing on the door. Almost knocking. I am blinded by a small candle. And I am so much absorbed in reading the book, which is nothing but empty words, which leads nowhere but into the desert of indefinability." He opened all the windows, all the doors, came out on the boat, he had seen many beautiful nights. Many beautiful full moons, but he had never seen such beauty, such silence. On the river, it was all silver of the moon. He remained silent almost moon struck. In many languages the word moon struck means madman. And certainly, if you open your heart to the moon, it is maddening. It is so immensely beautiful. That your mind stops its chattering, you fall into a silence which we call meditation. He wrote in his diary that night that the beauty can be seen, can be felt, can be experienced. It can drive you mad, but you cannot define it. And I decide from today not to read any book which is an effort to define beauty, because no book can do it. Mysticism is simply to bring into your life all those dimensions which are indefinable. And make you courageous enough to accept them knowing perfectly well that definition is not possible. That reason is important. Just because idiots have been asking questions, how, why, slowly, slowly, the whole humanity has dropped all those things about which they cannot give explanations. Life has become very mundane, profane. It has lost its sacredness, its divinity. It has lost its God. To me, God is not a person. God is simply a symbol, symbolizing all those values which are indefinable. Available to experience, but not available to reason. Available to the heart, but not available to the mind. This adventure of creating a university of mysticism is to bring all those values back to humanity. This is not going to be an ordinary university. It is not going to teach all those subjects which are available to reason. It is going to help you open yourself to all that which cannot be taught. It will not have teachers. It will have only openers, masters. It will not be situated in a certain place. It will have schools all over the world. I am calling them mystery schools. All those mystery schools together will be the University of Mysticism. In true spirit, it will be universal. A university has to be universal. And its function is totally different. It is not going to teach you chemistry and physics, science and commerce and arts. All that is done already by thousands of universities, which is all worthless. This I can say because I have been a student in the universities, a professor in the universities, on my own authority I can say that they are engaged in mundane things. They create engineers, they create doctors, they create technicians. They are all needed. But they don't create poets. They kill the poets. They don't create mystics. They destroy the very roots on which a mystic can grow. The University of Mysticism will be concerned only with the suprarational. That which is beyond the mind. And there is so much beyond the mind that if it is not made available to you, your situation is such as it happened in the Second World War. A small aeroplane was left in the jungles of Burma. When Japan was defeated, the Japanese left it there. The aboriginals who lived in the forest, they found it. They were really very curious, excited, what it is. But seeing the wheels, they figured it out that it is a kind of bullock cart. But some idiotic people have made it, because this is not the way bullock carts are made. They started using that aeroplane, a small aeroplane, as a bullock cart. Just by chance, a man, a hunter, saw them. He could not believe his eyes. An aeroplane being used as a bullock cart. They asked him that, "You have made it?" They said, "No, we are not such idiots. Why we should make it? We have found it. But we are enjoying it." The hunter said, he was from a nearby village where he has seen buses, cars. He said it seemed to be a kind of car. It is not a bullock cart. You just wait. I will bring one of my friends who knows something about buses. He used to work in a bus transport service. So they brought some petrol, and it did work like a small bus. And the people were hilarious. They said, "So we were wrong. It is not bullock cart. It is a bus." Great idea. They enjoyed it. And then the mechanic that had come, he said that, "I don't know much about aeroplanes, but as far as I can see, it is not a bus. I have seen aeroplanes only in the air. My village is small. Buses come up to my village. I have worked on the buses, so I can help this aeroplane, but this is an aeroplane because you can see the wings. I know a man in the city. I will find him out and I will bring him, who knows about aeroplanes." And the man came and he said, "What nonsense is this? You are using a beautiful aeroplane as a bus, and that too in the jungle where there is no road, nothing. You are just dragging it." In muddy roads, it can fly. The aboriginal said, "It can fly? Is it a bird?" He said, "It is a bird. Have you not seen steel birds flying?" They said, "We have seen, but we have never seen them on the earth." The man managed and took few aboriginals and the aeroplane functioned as it was supposed to function. It started flying and the whole village was dancing, beating their drums, singing that this is great, a bullock cart flying. Man is not just a mundane physical material phenomena. He is not just a bullock cart, but that's how we are using him. We are all using ourselves as bullock carts. We can be buses. Suraj Prakash can help. He knows transport. but we are not either buses. We are aeroplanes. I can help you to fly. Man can exist on many levels. There are levels and levels above. Mysticism simply means that you are not using your potential in its totality. You are using it only in its very partial part, a small part, fragment. And if you are not using your potentiality in its totality, you will never feel fulfilled. That is the misery. That is the cause of anguish. You are born to be mystics. Unless you are a mystic, unless you have come to know existence as a mystery, beyond words, beyond reason, beyond logic, beyond mind, you have not taken the challenge of life. You have been a coward. You have wings, but you have forgotten it. The university of mysticism is to remind man about the wings that he has. He can fly, and the whole sky is his.
Beloved Bhagwan, 8 years ago, you sent me on a journey to go and love myself. This is somehow happening. My heart space is growing. But something is missing, since I'm still looking outside for an answer for the other. Please comment.
Gunakar, love has 3 stages. First, you have to learn to love yourself. Because only if you love yourself, you can love the other. You have to love yourself so much that love starts overflowing. perhaps that is where you are. You need the other. That is the second stage of love. Loving the other is a difficult job. Loving oneself is simple. Because the other need not fit with you, need not fulfill your expectations, the other may start power trips, ego trips, all kinds of numbers. And you will need love enough not to be dominated. Not to be destroyed by the other. Otherwise, the other always destroys it. Jyapal Sartre is not absolutely wrong when he says the other is the hell. Alone, you can be silent, peaceful. With the other, everything becomes difficult. Everything becomes a conflict. The very presence of the other makes demands on you. You have to be very compassionate, very kind. Not to get caught into an intimate enmity. Otherwise, the other is going to become a hell to you. It is not just a coincidence that all the religions of the world have been teaching celibacy. It is just to avoid the other. Religions have been teaching renounce, the husband, the wife, the children, renounce the other. move to the mountains, to the monasteries, be alone. Their anti-life attitude is really anti-other attitude. They have burned their fingers. But what they are doing is a reaction, it is not an understanding. You have to be so loving that your love transforms the other. To such an extent that you can say the other is not hell. You have to be very articulate, very understanding. It is one of the greatest experiments in life. There is no other experiment which is bigger. You have to love in such a way that is slowly, slowly it changes the other person. And the other person starts dropping its effort to dominate. Effort to manipulate. It all depends on your love. In each case, you should remember that you have taken the step. It is your experiment. And you have to be grateful to the other that he is participating in your experiment. If you want your experiment to be successful, then you have to go on loving in spite of the other, not bothering about the small things. Only when you can love the other person, to such an extent that it becomes a transformation in him or in her. The third stage of love arrives. Then it is not a question of two persons loving each other. Then it is love which engulfs two persons, and the two persons become in a certain deeper sense one whole. In India we have the statue of Ardhanarishwar, half man, half woman. That is the third stage of love. When the man and the woman are no more two persons, they have become half and half into one whole. This third stage of love is automatically meditation. One who can reach this stage need not do anything else for meditation. This will be his mysticism. This is what was the whole approach of Tantra, to reach to the third stage of love. Then no other religion, no other methods are needed. Love itself becomes your God, your ultimate experience. But the second stage is really difficult. Otherwise, for thousands of years, people should not have escaped into monasteries. What was the fear? Why they were trying to hide into monasteries? In Athos, in Europe, there is a monastery which has existed for 1,000 years. There are 3,000 monks in the monastery even today. In Athos, a man enters only. Then, coming out is out of question. He comes only out when he is dead. And in the monastery, no woman has been allowed in 1,000 years, not even a 6-month-old baby. People must have been scared. Must be living in great fear. Behind the great walls of the monastery, they have already entered in their graves. Only the graveyard is outside the monastery. So when they die, then they can be brought out. And in these monasteries, they have been doing all kind of austerities. And they have been suffering all kinds of things imposed by themselves. certainly the second stage of love must be a greater torture. Otherwise, why these people should choose? And these are intelligent people. More than average intelligent people. I have heard about a Trappist monastery. In that monastery, talking was not allowed. Every monk was given an opportunity, if he had to say something to the abbot, once in 7 years' time. One monk entered renouncing his wife, those 7 years were such a torture. Because the cell that was given to him was too small, and the glass of the window was broken. So the water, whenever it was raining, was coming in. Day and night he was shivering. He could not ask for more clothes or blankets because his speaking was not allowed. 7 years he has to wait. 7 years he waited. And as the 7 years were completed, he rushed to the abbot and he said, "This is a sin. My window is broken. Water has been coming in continuously. I was not hoping that I will be alive after 7 years. Somehow, by God's grace, I am alive. Please fix the window." The abbot was very angry. He said, "It will be done. But remember, a monk is not supposed to complain. That is not the attitude of a monk. The poor fellow went in. They repaired the window, but in 7 years' time, the water had been coming in. His mattress has become a mess. Now he remembered, but it was too late, that what to do with this mattress. He has to sleep on this mattress for 7 years now again. But he has accepted the austerities of being a monk, he remained, although he was not silent, he was completely full of anger and wanted to kill the abbot and do something, but it was not appropriate. 7 years again passed and he rushed to the monk. And the abbot said, I know, there must be some complaint again. He said, what to do? Complaint or no complaint? But that mattress is rotten. 7 years of water on that mattress. You just come and have a look. He said, there is no need. You just go. The mattress should be changed. The old mattress was taken out and the new mattress was brought in. It was too big. Again the glass was broken. While bringing the mattress in, the glass was broken. He said, my God, again 7 years. The whole life is wasted. Again the water started coming. After 7 years, when he went to the abbot, abbot said, no more complaint. You just get out of the monastery. I have not heard anything from you in 21 years except complaints, complaints. Complaints, and this is not the way of the monk. But he said, at least listen to my story. He said, you just get out. You are not worthy to be a monk. Just go to your wife. He said, my God, again to my wife. After 21 years, she must be waiting to kill me. It is better I am going to myself. Anyway, in 21 years I have become accustomed. But to go back to the wife again, the second step is really difficult. And because of the difficulty, our religions have chosen to escape from life. But escaping from life is not the answer. It is simply cowardice. Life has to be changed through understanding. And if you love, love has an alchemy of its own. If love cannot change the other person, it only means you don't know what love is. you must be misunderstanding something else for love. Because love is absolutely capable of changing people. In fact, it is the only way to change. And when Jayapal Sartre says the other is hell, it is Christianity that is speaking through him. It is not he. He is unconscious. He is not aware that what he is saying is 2000 years of Christianity condemning the other. And then when you come to the other, you don't have love. Naturally, you are incapable of changing. The other is incapable of changing you. There is no place where love is being taught. There is no place where love is being nourished. That is one of the functions of the mystery school, to make your love as pure, pure of ego and power and domination. Just a sheer gift of joy, a delight in the being of the other person. Just a sharing of all that you have, with nothing holding back. Love is the greatest magic. Gunakar, don't be afraid of the other. Let the other enter your life. Because I don't teach escapism. I teach to go into the world , transform the world, because only in that transformation you will be transformed. Escaping to the hills and to the monasteries, you will miss transformation yourself. You will shrink. You will not expand. And if you cannot love a single person, how you are going to love the whole universe? And that's what prayer is, loving the whole universe. People feel that it is easier to love the whole universe. Because there seems to be no problem. The universe, the trees, the stars, the moon, the sun, they don't create any problem. Gautam Buddha used to say to his disciples that after each meditation in the morning, the last thing before you get up from the meditation is shower the whole world with your blessing that you have experienced in meditation. Don't keep anything for yourself. One man approached Buddha and he said, I can do it. Just one small exception, and I hope you will not object to it. It is such a small thing. Buddha said, what is that? He said, I can share my love, my joy with the whole universe, but not with my neighbor. That is impossible. That I cannot do. Buddha said, then for you, forget about the whole universe. For you, this is the rule, that after each meditation you shower all your joy and all your peace and silence on the neighbor. He said, my God, what are you doing? He said, I know what I am doing. Because the neighbor is the problem. Even Jesus, in one statement he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Exactly as he says, love thy enemy as thyself. I was talking to one of Christian theologians and I said, perhaps these both persons, the neighbor and the enemy, are the same. Because where you are going to get the enemy? He is unnecessarily repeating the same thing. Just it was enough to say, love your neighbor as thyself. That was enough. Because he is the enemy. Where you are going to get the enemy? It is easier to share your love with the whole universe. No, first share your love with one individual. Because he will give you real trouble. And unless you have passed that examination, you are not in a position to share your love with the universe. Then the universe is an empty world. Start finding the person, the more difficult, the better. It is a kind of asceticism. Just a new kind of being an ascetic. find in a woman is far more difficult than going to the Himalayas and distorting your body and doing yoga exercises. That is nothing. Even in circus, people are doing far better. But they don't arrive to any super consciousness. Just one woman, real difficult woman, and she will open the doors to the whole universe. Gunakar, it took 8 years for you to love yourself. Now don't go that way. This is slow. The second part is the longest. But if you are determined, and Gunakar is a German, if he decides, he will do it. The other creates trouble only. Because your love is not enough. If your love is overflowing, the other will be soured by it, cleansed by it. And instead of creating trouble for you, the other can become a tremendous help, a complementary part into the organic unity of your being, and can lead you to the third stage. It all depends how much you can love. And I don't think that one should be miserly about love. It costs nothing. And it is not a quantity that you have loved 1 kilo. No. One kilo is less. It is not a quantity. The more you love, the more you have it. The more you give, the more the universe goes on pouring in you from all sides. There are hidden springs. Just like as in a well, It happened once that there were not rains for 4 years continuously. And of course, the king closed his well. To save the water, he himself started drinking from the public well, because the palace was using too much water. And if the rains are not going to come in 1 year more, the public well will be dry. Then at least the king and his family can survive, and the rains did not come. Then he opened the well. But it's strange, the water has disappeared. Because every well is connected with hidden springs. When you take water out of the well, more water comes from those springs. When the water was not taken from the well, the springs started a reverse journey. They started taking the water to the public well. And because they are underground, you don't see them. Love has an underground way of filling you, invisible. The only way to know is just give it and see, you are always full. Don't give it and one day you will find your well is dry.
Beloved Bhagwan, I sit before you and my heart aches to know you. The gulf between us seems so great, although I feel this comes only from my part. Please, Bhagwan, help me to understand this.
There is no need to know me. The need is to know yourself. Your very desire is basically wrong. Hence the gulf. You cannot know me, and there is no need either. That is my work and I have done it. Now you do your homework. The day you will know yourself, there will be no gulf between me and you. Knowing yourself, you will know me, you will know everyone else too. The whole secret is within you. But you are looking in the wrong way, outside, trying to know me means still you are looking outside. Please close your eyes and look inside. Your whole energy has to settle within yourself. In your very center, in that very settlement arises the knowing, the light, the flame. And it is not that you know only yourself, you know the whole universe. Because we are made of the same stuff, the same universal consciousness.
Beloved Bhagwan, this morning my boyfriend was complaining about me, saying that I am not honest with you because I'm showing you just one side of myself, and that he is the one who is receiving all my bitchiness. Is it true that I am hiding something, or is it that your physical presence is provoking something so different in me that my dark side is simply dispersing?
Latifa, this is perfectly a good arrangement. I'm your master. You cannot be bitchy with me. And he's your boyfriend. If you are not bitchy with him, what you are going to be with him? He will miss. Boyfriends need it. Unless they found a good bitch, they are passing into great trouble. This is perfectly right. That's why I always want my sannyasins should have their boyfriends, their girlfriends, so that I am left at peace.